WDEE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Multiple potential Trump administration nominees facing more scrutiny, including Pentagon pick Pete Hegseth. So far, just two of the nine female Republican senators are on his side.
The support of Iowa Senator Joni Ernst will be critical. She's the first female combat veteran to serve in the Senate and a survivor of sexual assault. But so far, she's not convinced.
I think for a number of our senators, they want to make sure that any allegations have been cleared, and that's why we have to have a very thorough vetting process.
That was ABC's Mary Bruce reporting. NYPD detectives are hunting the killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, releasing hostile images of the suspect unmasked and smiling. Authorities believe that he used a nearly silent 9mm pistol with sales traced to Connecticut. In Paris, Notre Dame Cathedral reopens after 5 years of construction following the 2019 fire. President-elect Trump will be there. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin health officials are warning of a spike in respiratory illnesses during the holiday season. According to the Department of Health Services, record travel over the week of Thanksgiving has resulted in an increase in respiratory illnesses over the last week, as well as an increase in hospitalizations. Health officials also noted that Wisconsin residents are slightly behind average when it comes to flu vaccination rates, so they're reminding everyone to get vaccinated to protect themselves and others during the holiday season.
A recent study found that Wisconsin residents are paying a smaller percentage of their wages on utility costs than most other states. The study, conducted by Eden Emerald Hot Water, found that Wisconsin ranked 13th in spending on utility bills, with about 12% of the average salary going towards things like gas, water, internet, and cable. It also found the total average utility cost for Wisconsin residents was about $6,700 compared to the average salary of $56,000. Minnesota was the only Midwest state to rank higher. The Internal Revenue Service is noticing an increase in bad tax advice being spread on social media. IRS spokesperson Christopher Miller says the scams dupe people into filing inaccurate tax returns, which can lead to delayed refunds, penalties, and interest, and sometimes even criminal charges. Miller says you also need to be on the lookout for scams involving tax credits or cryptocurrencies. More tips and information can be found at irs.gov. This weekend, there will be a bowling event to help raise money for the Alzheimer's Foundation. Marcy's Strikeout Alzheimer's Baker Four-Person Shootout will be held Saturday at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers lose to the Lions. High from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored three touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 19 tonight, partly cloudy. 43 tomorrow. Will be sunny with a high of 48 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 18.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, five reasons why Donald Trump's presidency will be unlike any other in the history of our nation. First, Trump versus the Constitution will likely be a continuous fight in his fight. In his first term, Trump was twice impeached but not convicted. In his second term, Trump's bravado-filled dare-me attitude could again result in a grievous assault on the Constitution to achieve his political agenda, facilitated by the Supreme Court's controversial ruling on presidential immunity. So, Sandy, we constantly heard people talk about the weaponization of our court systems against former President Donald Trump. Do you see any of that changing?
Well, I'm not sure that I think that what's going to happen is going to be a much more assertive effort on the part of the executive, Trump and the White House, to test the edge of the envelope in terms of the imperial powers of the presidency. So, I predict that one of the earliest will be this power of impoundment. I'm confident that the president will attempt to announce that he will order the non-spending of money that has been authorized by Congress during the Biden administration. And we will immediately get a Supreme Court test as to whether the president has this power. So some of this stuff it's more the weaponization of the effort to expand the power of the presidency, which will then get tested by the courts. And, this is done by various presidents, has been done over the years. I just expect after reading Project 2025 that it will be done far more aggressively during this White House, because the whole object of Project 2025 is to create an imperial presidency, a president who is elected by the people, who has the capacity to essentially run as much of government as is possible directly.
Sandy, second. And as you stated earlier when we had this conversation, you think this is the most important. Second, Trump's 47 is saddled with more multi-layered business conflicts of interest than Trump 45. Worse, he has not promised to divest or withdraw from any of his companies or partnerships that could generate millions or even billions in profits from his administration's policy decisions. Why is that an issue, Sandy?
Well, I'm not sure it's an issue for Tom, Dick, and Mary in terms of their day-to-day lives, except for the sanctity of the U.S. government, because heading down the road of imperial corruption is the road that most third-world nations exist in, and they only emerge from third-world status when they shed imperial corruption, okay? The corruption of oligarchy in Russia is what destroys Russia's capacity to emerge from its status as a weak economy into something that would properly reflect the scale of that country. And the whole reason they've never achieved that scale is imperial corruption. And so what we're watching now is the installation into our government of something which the people seem to be tolerating, which is imperial corruption. And that's the problem with it. It is, you know, we should have people who are pure with respect to the public policies that they adopt, pure of personal ambition and personal wealth building. But this is not the case at all. And this administration seems to think that it's something which they can announce publicly. And apparently the public is willing to absorb things which would seem scandalous if they were discovered. But if they are announced, not so much.
So, Sandy, help me understand. You're the barrister here. How is it possible that we went through this last 4 years with people accusing the Biden family of enriching themselves during the presidency of Joe Biden? And yet, Sandy, here we are looking at the prospects and the possibilities that Donald Trump is going to be able to really, like none other in history, increase his wealth exponentially.
Well, you know, it's because it's the difference between, like I said, discovering it or announcing it. The Trump administration and the Trump family has never minced words. You know, the Jared Kushner goes off and raises $2 billion from the Saudi Arabians after being involved in establishing the U.S. public policy with respect to Saudi Arabia. And that's okay. But the extent to which Hunter Biden's income from Burisma might have been connected to something associated with Ukraine was discovered instead of announced. And so I think it really has to do much more with that. And, you know, for some reason, our national view of things, it inoculates people against scandal to the extent that it is openly and notoriously carried out.
All right, let's go to Brian from Maguanago. Good morning to you, Brian. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. How are you all doing today, this Friday?
All right. Well, we're doing fine. Go ahead.
I just try to speed this up. I wanted to say something as far as the last time we spoke, Mr. Earl, and that is, I had said that the Democrats are partially at fault for why we are here with the current situation with Trump and Project 2025 and all that. And you had asked me to elaborate, and I couldn't because I actually did have another important call coming in that I had to take. And so what I wanted to say was really simple. The Democratic Party forced Hillary Clinton on us. A lot of people wanted Bernie. A lot of people would have been, including those that voted for Trump, wanted Bernie. And there's a lot of people that voted for Trump in 2016 that said they were going to vote for Bernie, but the Dems forced Hillary Clinton on us. And that's the way I see it. I could be wrong, but that's just the way I've been viewing it since 2016.
So let me ask you, Brian. You don't see any difference in Bernie Sanders' beliefs and Donald Trump's?
Come on, man. I see differences.
Come on,
absolutely,
man. Completely.
What, you think Bernie Sanders is like Trump?
No. You are saying that the people who would have voted for Bernie Sanders decided to vote for Donald Trump. And I'm saying to you, how can that possibly be, man? Their policies are, you know, from the sun to Pluto.
Well, I do think that polling data did confirm what Brian has said, which is that there were people who voted for Trump, who, you know, would have otherwise voted for Bernie. And I think it had to do with wanting to vote against the Washington norms, okay? And there are people, I think, who are upset with Washington norms and want to change it. I think Bernie Sanders has always been viewed as someone who would do that. But they're certainly coming at this from entirely different directions.
So, Sandy, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I have a problem with how things have gone. But to say that I would turn around and vote for a man like the man who just got elected, and we're talking about all of the warts and all of the things that he's going to do to burn down the government, Sandy. I don't see how, because I'm upset with the Democrats, putting our nation in that kind of peril makes any sense.
Well, I think the whole notion of the populist anti-establishment movement is fraught with this kind of lack of logic, okay? People who are against the establishment want to change things, and they aren't necessarily too discriminating about the direction in which they change it. And that's been the nature of the anti-establishment movements that have led to populist movements in countries throughout the world, throughout history. It creates very strange bedfellows, okay? And so it is true that to the extent that there might have been people who would have voted for Bernie and voted for Trump, that's a very strange bedfellow arrangement right there, because the two of them might be anti-establishment, but they're coming at it from totally different directions.
Well,
Trump and Sanders.
Well, I'm looking at Tony. He says it's the anti-system. That seems to be irrelevant to voters. But okay, so let's say, Sandy, I'm not one who loves the way the system has been running. But for heaven's sakes, as you always said, what are you going to replace it with? So if the answer is, okay, I'm against the system that we know, and a system that wasn't just created by Democrats, by the way. It is a system that includes both Republicans and Democrats, and both have been equal in the way the system has been run and opposed to the American people.
Yeah, but Donald Trump is not a Republican, right? And he's been viewed by all those who are MAGA Republicans as being an anti-establishment Republican. Establishment Republicans are rhinos, okay? And so this is an anti-establishment movement that Trump represents. And anti-establishment movements, the populist anti-establishment movements, have typically run in the direction of wanting an authoritarian figure, someone who is not in the establishment, who is going to run things and to stop the frustration that they have with, for instance, democracy as we know it. Okay. And so I think we have to understand that to some extent, Trump is running against democracy as we know it. For those of us who believe in the democracy and want it to operate better, but believe in it, he's a danger. For those who are frustrated with democracy and as we know it, those people think it's beautiful.
Yes, so they think Project 2025 is beautiful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that's
come on,
that's
Sam.
That's the danger of this is that people who are frustrated and have decided that they're anti-establishment will gravitate towards something that is probably far worse for them, but promises to be at least action of a nature that isn't occurring today.
Well, you know, the problem with that way of thinking, Sandy, is when we talk about anti-establishment, we're talking about anti-United States government. And that used to be something that people would frown on. But to publicly come out and say I'm anti-United States government is something now that seems to be acceptable in the society. Hold the thought,
absolutely.
Sandy. Hold the thought. And all of you, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
At Harbor Freight, our low prices make us the place for gifts that keep on giving. Because when you give the gift of quality tools, you're giving someone the ability to fix, restore, and build for years to come. And with savings like these, you can even get something for yourself. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Stop by and give yourself the gift of great prices.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You know, Sandy, these last two tunes that you played are absolutely perfect for the subject, the conversation we're having right now. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, Sandy, these text messages and the last caller that we had, I don't get this. You know, I mean, here's Tony. I think they just want step one, to break the system. They worry about what step two is after step one happens. We've had heard a lot about what step two is going to be, but we never get past step one. Tom, they don't believe that the problem is all that employees within the government. They believe the government that they see on an everyday basis is the problem. PJ, well, the DNC didn't want to let Bernie fix things and make life better for us. Then guess what happens? Trump happens, that's what. But Sandy, I for the life of me, again, don't understand. There was a time in my life recently that these would be anti-government kinds of thought processes. And even though our government has its issues, to say that it needs to be turned inside out and upside down, the way that that was always handled, Sandy, was through our election process. But to say that we're going to completely throw the government out and start all over again, not even knowing where we're headed or what the outcome's going to be, is fool's gold to me. I'm sorry, for whatever reason or rationale people have for feeling that way, it makes no rational sense, Sandy.
Well, frustration doesn't materialize itself in rational ways, I would guess, is the answer to that question. I think people are afraid, people, you know, we have a large and highly stressed middle class, people who are financially between a rock and a hard spot. And are probably quite fearful. And people in that circumstance are fearful, and that fear can be turned into anger. And anger is frequently misdirected, right? Kicking the dog is a far more common experience than we would hope it would be. And so, you know, I think that those emotions have led people in the direction of wanting to thrash around and make things happen. And what those things are ill-defined. And I think the people who are hurting couldn't tell you what the remedies would be for their problem. They don't understand how to solve their budget problem or how to solve the fact that they don't earn enough to pay their bills. when inflation came, there was something to point at specifically that they could become very angry about. And so that was a source of great anger during the Biden administration. But I'm afraid that what we've got is misdirected anger. And so these people, at least the people who would like to move in the direction of authoritarianism, want to change things. And Congress has been paralyzed for 30 years. So they're saying, we'll get changed some other way.
Sandy, I'm sorry. I live in the same world as those people.
Well, okay. But that's why we're split down the middle in the country, because some people react to that differently than other people do. And we have, I think what we're having trouble doing, those of us who didn't react in the anti-establishment manner quite as dramatically, what we're having trouble doing is projecting and understanding why these other people are conducting themselves as they are. But I think we're seeing it now, okay? And I think what's going to happen is that the manifestation of populist movements typically does not satisfy the people, okay? It doesn't inure to the benefit of the people. It hasn't in the South American countries where it's been common, and it won't here either. But unfortunately, the only way that we find out is the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, Sandy, I would understand it more so if there was a somebody on the other side of the equation other than a man who we know is there to benefit himself and his family. Openly, we know that. And not there to benefit the very people who want to see this change.
Well, you know, he's sort of an outcast, and has perpetuated the view of himself as an establishment outcast, and he's a celebrity outcast. And so, you know, celebrity outcasts, anti-heroes are pretty common in the world of animated comics, okay? But the anti-hero has become a very important part of our cultural, kind of the cultural blend. And I think that Donald Trump is, for many people, the anti-hero.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
All right, so first off, when Bernie came on the scene, Bernie said that he was for Medicare for all. He was for college tuition.
Tom, hold on. Tom, let me do this because we're so close. Hang on. 855-752-4842 is the number. And it's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, we got a lot more to talk about. But I want to stay here for a moment, Sandy, because I think this is really a moment in time where this conversation needs to be meted out. And I get it. I understand, you know, the middle class and those things. I'm around a bunch of people who are Americans as well as the middle class who are angry because things aren't getting any better for them as well. And they're living way below the margin. And so they have something to say as well. And yet their voices aren't being heard whatsoever in this conversation. So I'm not saying I'm in that group of people who are upset. But my God, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Keep us bubbling on. Don't give up the fight. Yeah. You're sick and tired of your ism, schism, game. Dinah, go to heaven in a Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light. What you gonna we gonna see? Stand up for our rights. Yeah, yeah. So you better get up. Stand up in the morning. Give it up. Stand up for your rights. Stand up right now. Get up. Stand up. Don't give up the fight. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Get up.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The 7th annual Journey to Bethlehem live nativity will be held Saturday at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Rockbridge. Dan Luig serves as the pastor at the church.
This is an indoor event that acts as a walking tour of the live nativity scene and reasons for coming to Bethlehem. So this begins with people are brought in, there's a registration table, and then brought into a room where there's hot chocolate and different coffee and different drinks available in that regard, listening to some live music taking place. From there, a tour guide will take groups in to meet a Bethlehem historian to find out what's so significant about Bethlehem this time of year, to meet an innkeeper to learn what were inns like. This isn't exactly a Motel 6, so what does it mean when it says there is no room in the inn? So learning a little bit about that, and then meeting a shepherd to find out what was life like at this time caring for shepherd. What does it mean to be a shepherd, and what did that all entail, and how does that connect to the Christmas story? And that's what brings us to a living still of the live nativity and hearing the famous words from Luke chapter 2, and also having animals that will be there as part of that live living still experience, as we have animals from Tiny Acres Farms that will also be with us.
The day also includes family activities.
This year we're actually making a live nativity throw pillow, and each family will be able to take one of those home when it's all done. And then there will be an opportunity for Christmas cookie decorating and, more importantly, Christmas cookie eating.
The live nativity will be held Saturday from 10 to 2 at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Rockbridge. All are invited to attend. There is no admission charge.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Nothing to See Here news, superstar Taylor Swift was named the number one most streamed artist on Spotify for 2024, according to Variety. That makes 2 years in a row for the pop icon. Swift songs pulled almost 27 billion streams. She was off to a good start when her album Tortured Poets Society racked up 300 million streams in one day and a billion in the first week. When playing a legendary character as the lead in a movie, it is probably a huge vote of confidence to get the person who you are portraying's endorsement. Timothée Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. Dylan recently took to social media to say that he is sure that Chalamet will be completely believable in the role. If Dylan had actually said those words, it would have sounded like Chalamet. Chalamet is already getting Oscar buzz for his portrayal as Dylan. A Complete Unknown opens Christmas Day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 19 tonight, partly cloudy. 43 tomorrow. Will be sunny with a high of 48 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center. An entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Eastern world. It is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating.
But you tell me over and over and over.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and a riveting discussion we're having right now. And so, guys, hang on the phone lines. We're talking, Sandy, really about, you know, a lot of different things, but at the root of all of them is, again, people who want to burn down the government as it is presently configured. And Sandy, you and I remember during the Vietnam War and other times, people who would say those things and respond in that manner were ostracized in this country. If you had those ways or those thoughts, Sandy, it was not accepted in our society. Do you remember those times?
Yeah, I mean, you know, those times were, you know, the establishment was the accepted norm, okay? And the establishment, the problem was, I think, beginning with Ronald Reagan, the government, the establishment of government was under attack by those in government, okay? And
right.
So, you know, since it's been 40 years of this sort of movement in the direction of believing that government and when you talk about government as an entity, you talk about sort of a black hole, and it was the deep state. It was never the politicians themselves that were the government that was the enemy. It was always everyone who wasn't elected to office. It was the people who operated government who were the managers, the workers, the employees in government who were actually carrying out the functions of government, and somehow they got painted as the enemy. And by Grover Norquist after Ronald Reagan, and now by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans and the Tea Party as well. I mean, there's been a series of movements that were designed to be aimed at essentially strangling government because government was viewed as the enemy.
All right, let's go to Tom from LA. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, let me just riff here if I can. So when Bernie came on the scene, he kept his message simple. He did not triangulate his message. He said, tax the billionaires, Medicare for all, increase benefits for Social Security, free college education for all, no apologies to anyone, and a person who stood up to the average American. He spoke clearly.
Oh, okay, so Tom, we've got the phone lines are full, so we kind of want to expedite it.
I understand. I'm gonna go through this quickly. So he spoke clearly and concisely. In fact, he, in a debate with Hillary Clinton, talked about how she took big money for speeches and uncovered the problem with billionaires. Donald Trump, first time around, said the same thing. He said, I have given all of you money in a debate with the Republicans, and I own all of you. He put, I am the person that stands for the average American. The difference is Trump lied to get into office using Bernie's policies like NAFTA and getting rid of NAFTA, getting rid of the TPP. Hillary was already the establishment candidate because she wouldn't talk about getting money out because she needed the donors for her campaign. Trump said he was against TPP and NAFTA, just like Bernie. Trump was and is bold, and Bernie is bold. Other politicians are too careful because they do not want to offend the donor class. I want to know what Sandy thinks.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. Let me do. Mike McCabe said on another show that Trump's voters see themselves in Trump's future and feel talked down by the Democrats. Nobody likes to be talked down to. I think that's a pretty simplistic response. To say that the Democrats talk down to people, and who talks down to people any more than Donald Trump? And so I'm gonna change our entire government because I feel like I've been talked down to.
Well, you know, that's people are trying to describe why they're reacting the way they are. But, you know, I think one of the establishments that Donald Trump is running against is the intellectual, the academic establishment, the intellectual establishment. And so I think that it's that establishment that this person is talking about, talking down to them. And I suppose it's, you know, it's mansplaining. It's this notion of that people who explain things to us are talking down to us. People who assume we know and declare things are talking to us. And so Donald Trump, number one, couldn't explain them, right? And number two, doesn't bother to explain it. He just announces that he's going to do whatever it takes. And for some people, that seems to be a compelling message.
All right, let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. You say what?
Good morning. Yes, I see how this all has come about. And now people are going to, you know, see how millionaires run the government. People just don't understand government. I know a lot of people in my area wear shirts that say our government sucks. They didn't even care who they're voting for. They just wanted a change from what's going on. But they're going to find a big change. And it's too bad, but I really believe, I have to believe that this awfulness, this stuff that's going to happen is going to turn people around to get our government back to where it needs to be, we the people. So that's where I stand with it. But I can see how people have been brainwashed into thinking Trump's going to change everything. Well, now we have Elon Musk in the government, and he's going to change things all right. And it's not going to be better for these people. And I part of me does feel bad for them, because when everything is reinforced about your belief, Fox News reinforced their belief, and social media, it all this messaging, nonstop messaging, has made people angry at our government. But they're going to be more angry when they find out what's going to happen in their future. And I feel like it's going to get bad before it can get better.
Hey,
so thank you, Earl.
Hey, Ann, thank you very much, as always. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to start by saying the whole Bernie Hillary thing. Yeah, I was all for Bernie, and I really think he did kind of get screwed out of all that. But you're talking about, you know, surprised that people would say I'd rather vote for Trump than Hillary or what have you. Well, here's a perfect example. They're eating our dogs, they're eating our cats was a far stronger message than we want to help you buy your first home. That's just Trump in the media saying that she's stupid all the time. I heard lots of people saying, oh, she doesn't know anything she's doing. I don't have any faith in her, even though Kamala has worked in all three branches of government. And then I think the big problem with the Democrats and what we're saying, there's plenty of blame always to go around. But I think Merrick Garland is a big reason why we have Trump now. I think Merrick should have long ago, 2 years earlier, should have started this whole process with Trump and getting him prosecuted. Trump should be sitting in jail right now for the things he done. But once again, he is Teflon Don.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning. I feel as if there's like elephants in the room and nobody wants to talk about the elephants here. Because, again, I've talked about this after the election. Anybody's walking around, especially, let's be honest, especially white folks, because we are the most influential, affluent, socioeconomic group of the whole country. For us to be talking about the economy is, again, a know-nothing party type of conversation. I mean, this is about protecting whiteness. They didn't know anything or care anything about what he's doing to the government. They just knew it was a white guy, and this black woman was going to prosecute this white guy if she won. I mean, it's why would black Americans, who Earl actually mentioned earlier, I hear all these folks talking about this stuff, and this is never brought up, but Earl talked about earlier in vague terms, why would the group of black Americans who are impacted more have less ownership, less business ownership, less generational wealth, higher poverty rates, higher unemployment rates? Why would they look at this situation and go, we're not voting for that dude. We're voting for the person who's going to look out for us economically. And why would all the other people that voted for the other side look at that same situation and go, eh, we're going to pick the crook? I mean, this is about protecting whiteness. You need to have shows about this. Someone needs to talk about this. we're talking around the truth here. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Eric. Sandy, you wanna take a bite at that apple?
Well, yeah, I do think that tribalism has been. I think this whole notion of the immigration and the fear of immigration, the talk about pure keeping our blood pure was the most flagrant discussion of it. I think that we've had callers who've talked about how it is that white men seem to be in peril. That we've had interviews of young white men who talk about how they think that there's basically an assault on white men. That white men are the disfavored part of the population. So yeah, I think that there's clearly a flavor of that is behind the scenes here that has sort of the attack on government has become a legitimate way of talking about doing things that actually might manifestly be driven by something else.
Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I watched the announcement of the leadership for the Congressional Black Caucus. And I just want to just briefly read you the statement for the new chair-elect Yvette Clark of New York, who is the daughter of Jamaican immigrants. And she says, in my capacity as chair, I will ensure that our caucus's goals are accomplished by focusing on voting rights, education, criminal justice reform, women's rights, healthcare equity, and economic equality. And here is the key that the Congressional Black Caucus received a message from the 22% that voted for Donald Trump. We must be attentive in completing our purpose of addressing and enacting promises and enacting policy to uplift our community and keep our promises. Now, Earl, I know you disagree with me on, and many of us who voted for Trump, but something needed to be done to shake up and wake up the Congressional Black Caucus. There are 62 members, the largest membership on record for the Congressional Black Caucus. They have the leverage to impede much of what Donald Trump wants to do. They have absolutely no excuses. And it might mean that they are going to have to vote against their colleagues within the Democratic Party. So I am looking forward to watching the situation.
Well, so Cassandra, I have to push back against you because, yes, they 62 members. The Democratic Black Caucus has fringe power. It has no power to enact or to force or bring major change to what happens in this society. If they had that kind of power, then over the decades, black people wouldn't be in the condition and in the situation that they are in and continue to be in this nation. And to say that this time around, they somehow are going to be able to have the power to change the trajectory of the direction of far too many lives in the black community in this country is not right, and it's not the truth, Cassandra. As long as black people only make up 12% of the overall population of this nation, it's always going to be a difficult transition period. I wish I had more time. 855-752-4842. Mike from Kenosha, hang on, and others. Sandy, I'll give you a shot on the other side. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turn public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
We don't have to change. Oh, Sandy, great, great music, Sandy. It just fit the discussion. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always, because we're at that point in time. You can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Wim. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about big change. So should we be surprised? I started out with we shouldn't be surprised. And the rest of it's sort of about big change in government. What do we think about it?
All right. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, and I want to touch on the talk down to crowd. Okay. There are many of us who love digging into the weeds and exposing all the details and searching for the truth. But every time it seems that we try to then communicate that to members of this quote-unquote, talk-down-to group, you know, we get deer-in-the-headlights look, you know, like they have no idea what we're talking about, because they don't. The misinformation that has run wild for the last 40 years has just been over the top. My gosh, we know $50 trillion has shifted from the middle class to the elites, and with that $50 trillion transfer of wealth, is also the tax base is suddenly much, much smaller. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, specific details like, you know, the transfer of $50 trillion and the fact that most of the burden of the tax is then, again, going to be dumped on the lower classes, the middle classes, you know, people don't understand that anymore. We have lost our way. There are the people... For whatever reason, when we get into the weeds, which is always where the details are, but when we get into the weeds of a good communication with people, we lose them. Their attention span, the critical thinking process seems to wane, and then they throw up their arms. Well, you know, it's too difficult to figure out. You know, it's over their head. So I'd like to just end it with this. The American people need to grow up and grow a pair. We need to insist on things changing. And if it takes millions of people walking in a purple line down Pennsylvania Avenue, all in unison, that's what it's going to take. It's not going to be one party or another that's going to save the day, quote unquote. It's going to be all of us. So I challenge the American people in the listening public out there to get involved with government, because you're not going to change it from the outside in. You change always comes from the inside out.
Hey, so Mike, Mike, well said, Mike. Sandy, you want to respond to any of the callers that we just had, just a plethora of callers?
Well, I mean, I think we're in the dark touching an elephant, trying to figure out what we're touching in terms of figuring out what this animal is and why. One thing that he just mentioned is important, which is that the shift in wealth has also shifted the income to the top 1%. Well, the income is what gets taxed. So the top 1% is now running around saying, we pay such a disproportionate amount of the tax that we shouldn't have to pay so much. But the fact is, the reason they pay a disproportionate amount of the tax is they are earning a disproportionate amount of the income, okay? And they possess a disproportionate amount of the wealth. And that's why things have shifted in that direction. Their marginal tax rates for that group have actually gone down precipitously. It's just that the amount that they earn has gone up so precipitously that it's now funneled in that direction. No, I think that today's discussion is interesting, because I think it is it's proof that we are in a dark room with an elephant. We can't figure out what the animal is, and we're each describing the part we're touching, and it's becoming more mysterious. How in the world and what in the world is this? But, you know, the lights are going to come on and we're going to find out. And I'm afraid for that moment, because I think there could be some good that comes out of the next administration, but I fear that what's much more in danger is the American process and the processes of government that are designed to protect us. For instance, having a government that has an announced intent to have a vendetta against those who are opposed to it, who are politically opposed to it, is a dangerous thing. And we can talk next week about this whole pardon issue and the what it is that it smells like and looks like. But we don't want to become a banana republic. We don't want to become a country with imperial corruption. And I'm afraid that much of what this administration is talking about is taking us more in that direction.
You know, Sandy, our forefathers wouldn't have dreamt of us coming to a point where we're talking about this government must be reconfigured. It's not working for me. And so because it's not working for me, whatever it stood for, whatever it's been throughout all of these different centuries, and all the people who fought for it and died for it and bled for it, we're willing to throw that out, Sandy. That's the part I don't get.
Well, the people who failed us are our elected officials, and it's the elected officials who are now talking about attacking the other part of government, which is the deep state, right? Well, the deep state's a fun thing to talk about if you're an elected official, if you can deflect attention away from the fact that you're the part that has failed the American people.
All right, we got to go, Sandy. Thank you as always. Have a great weekend. See you on next Tuesday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Thank all you, the listeners. Up next, Jane Matinette, Greg Bach, Matinette on air. Enjoy a balmy weekend. All right.
News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Just PS, Dom's producer here. Next time, Matt Rothschild takes the host seat. Catch Dom back on Monday.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.